say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a packed house and a fun topic this week.
There are way too many of you meat sacks in here.
I love extra company.
And we love you, Kyle. Full stop. Right there, as far as it. Robot love goes. Full stop.
Period. Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, with a layover in parts unknown, Colorado. We are your hosts. I am David Flora. He is Brent Hand.
And I am Awesome Personified, the realization of perfection, 200 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal.
Stop. Please stop before I throw up.
Jesus Christ. I got wrapped up in his eyes there for a second, I think. And we promised you a packed house, and we have just that, actually. We're 2 weeks in a row with guests. We're moving on up. We got dose returning guests this week, both of which have their own bumpers. So, you know, without further ado, welcome back to the show. First up, Mr. JTR, if you're nasty, Brown.
Oh, look. It's JT Brown.
And before we get to too much back and forth, I got to get one more bumper out of the way. You know him. You hate him. Mr. Kevin Crispin.
His name is...
Kevin!
You're damn right I hate
JT!
It.
JT!
Oh, I missed that bumper so much.
Oh, look.
How did I not get that bumper? Because that's generally how people feel when they see me.
They go, oh look, it's JT Brown.
As if they're Eeyore right after his tail's been pinned on.
Yep.
They're just pissed. And I don't want to give away a lot of the magic here.
Good, because we don't want you talking. So
well, fuck
perfect.
You. And I do want to say, in the little outline here, it does say, we have none other than Mr. Ken Crispin. Now, I don't know who Ken Crispin is, but I'm guessing he's much more pleasant than I am.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Is that your drug-addled kid brother? Is that who you're trying to forget?
The Ken Crispin collection from Broyhill Furniture.
We always get a free onion.
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Yeah, no shit, right? Gentlemen, welcome back. What's been going on since, well, Kevin, you were on not too long ago. JT, yep. It's been a minute or five.
It has. I think we last talked about, we did Waco, but I think we also then later talked about, I feel like some diddling ghosts that diddled some people. Is
sometimes,
that correct?
Sometimes you got to have a ghost rape you in the butt.
I think it was what it was, right? It was, and then, yeah, I remember that. I think.
Diddling ghosts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. From maybe 2020 thereabouts.
That's a country band, isn't it?
I think it is.
Bluegrass, yep. Maybe?
That was the only troubling thing of 2020 was the diddling ghosts.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad that if Ghost had came out in 2020, it probably would be low down?
Yeah, I know. Right after Murder Hornets.
Oh, man. I am still trying to get Conspiracy About to stop trying to make that a thing.
Well, so. You know, and about him, Twisted Steel and Sex Appeal. Who the fuck does he think he is? Superstar Billy Graham? Come on, man. He can't do that shit.
Do you feel that they would have beaten two dudes with attitudes in 1995 for the tag team titles?
Yes,
two dudes with attitudes. Oh, my gosh.
Twisted Metal. Or what was it?
Twisted Steel and Sex Appeal.
They're better than two dudes with attitudes.
Damn right. Yeah.
Yeah. He does kind of look like that clown car with the clown on top of it, like the Jack in a Box.
Twisted Steel,
Twisted Metal.
Sweet Tooth. Sweet Tooth.
Yep.
Holy cow.
You liked that game, didn't you?
I liked it very much.
Sorry. Yep.
I was scared. I know. I'm sorry.
John Thomas.
It's very challenging. Yeah. If you need to speak to me like my mother,
that's
you
damn
feel
right.
Free to do that if all you right. need to.
Anyway, you liked Twisted Metal?
I did. I liked it very much. I spent large swaths of beautiful days that I could have been outside playing instead, blowing up other cars with missiles.
At least you weren't blowing up real cars.
Sometimes you gotta blow up some cars.
Quick point of order. Kevin always asks me to talk to him like his stepmom, and I am not sure what he means by that.
I don't think you want to go down that road.
What are you doing, step robot?
Hurry, your dad will be home any minute.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, motherfucker, like you didn't go to porn immediately in your mind.
I actually didn't for the first time in my life.
We said welcome in Hysteria porn. Nation, and you thought of three porn titles.
That Hysteria Hernia is a good one.
Oh.
Hernia.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, kids? Getting back on track here with slightly less step robot porn. We're going to go for a quote-unquote gasp controversial topic because they, meaning the people that know, say that the others, they being the powers that be, are lying to us about true history.
What?
Yeah. Most of the stuff we talk about here is controversial, especially if taken at face value. But this is one that ticks people off. It's not as big as, say, like Flat Earth, which we actually talked about last week. A little bit touching on how much it makes people get upset. But, if you take this stuff at face value, it's kind of out there. JT, since you're back here, give us the Tartar. My voice. There we go, David. See, my voice.
How are you guys doing? Do you ever wonder about what?
What's it like?
I'd look out for the coyotes if I were you.
What's it like having hair in weird places? Give us the Tartarian elevator pitch, if you will.
Well, the Tartarian Empire theory suggests that the existence of a highly advanced and influential civilization referred to as Tartary or Tartaria, if you prefer. But here's the rub. It's been systematically removed from mainstream historical accounts.
Just like giants and all of my shenanigans.
Seabot shenanigans aside, the Tartarians, is it Tartarians or Tartarians?
You know what? I think since it's bullshit, allegedly.
allegedly, thank you.
I think it's the Tartarians.
It's could the Tartarians. Tartarians.
I always say Tartarians.
Tartarians?
I think it's a choose-your-own adventure.
I say tartar sauce.
That's right. Yeah. Tartarians supposedly had advanced technology like free energy and airships, but for some reason they couldn't prevent their own empire from being erased.
Don't you hate that?
I know.
Well, thank you, sir. And I think it goes without saying our goal, well, if we have a goal on the show, is to do an analysis of the theory, examine claims of its supporters, and the view of the scholars, wise men, and academics who dispute it.
Wise men, for sure. Wise guys, you mean. What do they know?
Thank you very much, Mel. That's true.
Yeah. Was that Mel Kaminsky?
Mel Kaminsky, yeah. Mm-hmm. Him and Ken Crispin used to do that two-man show on Broadway.
Oh, the 3,000-year-old llama?
Yeah. No.
Nudity involved, if I remember.
I sat in what? Yeah, that was
just an hour and a half of that. What?
I sat in what? Had you guys heard of this? Is this?
I have not. Have you?
So this was new to me, as is, it's the danger with these conspiracy theories is you planted this little seed and then I'm like,
rabbit hole. So,
yeah, exactly.
Well, there you have it. That lies the problem. It's more big lies from big history. Just keeping the truth away from us. Just keep us in the dark and away from the real tech our reptilian overlords keep hidden in the underground. Here's the other thing. So let's take a realistic look at this. And I don't remember if you were on this one or not, David. We talked about the idea of lost civilizations, not Tartarians, but could there have been literally millions of years ago, the Earth could have been like it is now, a cataclysm wiped about millions of years ago by, would there be evidence that the people had been here? And even though mainstream scholars say that, it never happened, we would not have evidence for the most part because that's how much time breaks down everything. That was really interesting to me is time is the grand equalizer is, things get lost to time. But we're talking about millions and millions of years ago and that kind of claim. But this claim comes to us because they claim they know a lot of it because of maps and a mud flood cover up and all sorts of things like that. So we're going to get into it. David, had you heard of this very much?
No. This is brand spanking new to me.
It was to me too. And go ahead. And I was just going to say, and people are like, how have you not covered that? I'm like, I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this often, we can get into it, but I don't know if this often gets roped into Atlantis or any of those offshoots, but this one was brand new when you brought it to me and was like, hey, you ever heard of this? And I was like, no. And that's a good story for you guys.
That was a great story.
Have you ever heard this? No.
No.
Okay.
No, cut.
And nice. Scene.
Print.
All right, let's head to break real quick. And we come back, we get saucy with tartary claims. Mm. See, I'm using all your pronunciations. You really said you like tartar sauce.
I don't know if I said I liked it.
Well, you said the word.
You son of a... Oh, sorry.
All right, we're going to get a break. We'll be right back with more Hysteria 51.
You know, saying a word, Brent, doesn't mean I like the word.
Like when you say you love me?
Right, that's just a lie.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years. And there's over 25 different languages that you can learn. And people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in. And you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient. And you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value. And you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use. And we have, both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term. And it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
See, John, that this music doesn't change. Ever.
Yes, it stays.
We made a change a while back, and people lost their minds. So then I made a change back, and the new people lost their minds. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember which one we're on now. I just said, oh, well, this is it.
Well, somebody's going to lose their
minds. It was
like a
lose-lose.
There's minds being lost.
There's only so many free-to-use songs out there that, you know, and that's T for Two Cha-Cha. Yeah. But yeah, so I it was still another version of T for Two Cha-Cha. And as much as I like the song, I like saying the name
T for Two Cha-Cha?
T for Two Cha-Cha.
Did you have to do the very general mistakes were made PR campaign to try to explain away?
Nah, I just had C-Bot send a general fuck you through all of our social media.
That works.
Is that why I got that?
Yeah.
God damn it.
General fuck you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was bounced. I think he was actually, General Fuck You, I believe, was actually court-martialed eventually.
Yeah, so. Unlike Major from Catch-22.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my Speaking Lord. Of, it's Thank suppressed you. History time.
Yay!
Let's get fucking truthy. Truthy should be our next mascot.
Hi, I'm Truthy. He's just dead.
Or is on life support.
He's on life support. Yeah. Yep. hey, guys.
Sorry. Proponents argue that there has been a deliberate effort to suppress and erase the existence of the Tartarian Empire from history books, from maps, from records, from CDs, from laether disc, from all microfiche and media of all kinds. This conspiracy is often attributed to powerful groups or governments that want to maintain control over historical narratives. These days, we just call them scientists.
That is such a insert whatever topic we want. There is some sort of powerful group or government wanting to maintain control over historical narratives. The problem is, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because they do when stuff really does come about. So it's an easy way to say it. I mean, doesn't that just feel real? Don't you think that the government wants to control everything and so they're an easy scapegoat?
Sure.
And do you think the 1800s were all of the mass cabal of governments like meeting via, you know, like Teams, Microsoft Teams?
Of course they were. They had
discuss it in the 1800s.
They had the advanced, you know, the advanced achievements of Tartary at their disposal. So true. They were.
Yeah, you got right. Me there. We would have had the internet in the 1800s if these motherfuckers hadn't gotten. Yeah. So that would mean. Man, the scourge of podcasts would
ye
have been
old MySpace. Yes, would have been
ye old MySpace yes, right. With command. No, Commander's not right. Mm. Squire Tom is your friend.
Squire Tom. Oh man, I love it when randomly you'll see someone has changed their Facebook profile picture to Tom.
Is that something people do? Do you know what we're talking about?
I'm
not familiar, huh?
Were you ever on MySpace?
I was. Yeah.
Oh, Tom was everybody's friend.
Oh.
He was the original creator, and so when you made an account, he was your first friend.
That's right. Oh, and he was wearing a white t-shirt.
I wondered who that guy was.
That was the creator of MySpace.
He sold it like at the top of its popularity, made, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, and then it tanked right afterwards, and he giggled his way to...
No, he's like, and I have 30. All these friends.
Do you think he's like Scrooge McDuck and he swims in his coins? Do you think?
Yes.
I just hope that when he made the deal to whoever he sold that to, that he was paid in gold coins.
Well, I hope so too.
He said the guy used a bunch of different names. Old Scratch, Old Joe, B. Arthur's not his evil sibling. I don't know, you know.
All fair callback. Hey, let's talk about the technological advancements that they are said to have.
Let's do it. I dare you.
Because, you know, when you're that far back, you can have everything. You can have flying cars. You can, although this really kind of smells of steampunk society, does it not?
So when you look up photos, it'll be like a bunch of people floating in balloons with like a you know, a steam engine on the back of it. Yeah, that's literally what it, you know. That's or great. I kind of went to also, do you remember in, if you guys saw the new Aquaman when they showed Atlantis before it fell?
Nope.
They had all that weird technology, like people are in like almost like AT-AT walkers and stuff like that and flying and stuff, and then it all went
Sorry, was
shit.
That an AT-AT?
reference. I think it, depending on how you want to say it.
I just want to make sure I understood.
As opposed to an at-sat, right?
At-sat.
A-T-S-T.
A-T-S-T.
Yeah, the chicken walker.
That's actually the one I meant, the A-T-S-T.
Idiot.
There you go.
The two-legged one. I want to apologize.
Yeah.
So they had all this stuff. Let's just get that out of the way. They had that. They had the architecture that surpassed the capabilities of the time. I mean, who are we to say that? Mm-hmm. But believers point to ancient structures and artifacts that they claim exhibit Tartarian influence or origin, Brent. What are some of those?
A lot of it is they'll say you pick a building in Tibet, right? You know, and then a building in Egypt or a building in Greece, all from a similar time. And they will have similar things like archways and things like that. Well, they say obviously they were influenced by the same people, or you realize that when you're building with stone and things like that, there is a better way to do it, and these same civilizations figured it out on their own. Well,
and isn't it all based on like Euclidean geometry
and like the golden ratio and all these, you know, and you look at all these people.
Is that like the golden rule?
It is.
Okay.
Be nice to your angles.
The golden rule sheet.
Is what that means. And so they'll look at a lot of that. We'll get into the maps, and there's a lot more of this and that. But they say there was even more. I mean, they had, you know, global commerce, global infrastructure, capabilities to speak to one another. And it all disappeared. And we'll talk about that. Tell us about global influence.
Who, me?
Yes, please.
The empire is believed to have spanned across Asia, Europe, and the Americas, exerting significant influence on many contemporary cultures, and also gaining, that's probably, 17 to 20 new armies each turn, I think.
Just building up on Papua New Guinea the entire time.
That's how you win.
That is true.
Yep. Got to have a
base. Proponents argue that linguistic, architectural, and artistic similarities between regions are evidence of this influence. I don't know, pyramids everywhere?
Yeah. Okay, so linguistic, architectural, artistic similarities. Going back to also the ancient structures and artifacts, you said like, oh, there's a building in Tibet, there's a building in Egypt that look the same with archways.
Right.
Is that the same kind of vague explanation when it comes to linguistic, architectural, and artistic similarities?
Yes. Kevin, we've been doing this show now. I've been doing this for like 7 years.
Don't I know
it? Vague things are my bread and butter.
Yeah, that's true.
Explanations don't really fit in with a lot of these.
I've never been on the show, so I just am trying to figure this out as I go along.
Well, we're trying to get truthy, as we said. So
and you got to understand the star forts. That's apparently why they think everything is connected. Is there was apparently a lot of star shaped forts across a lot of different continents that they're like, oh, well, obviously the fact that they have ramparts in four different areas means that it's the same, as opposed to like. They learned because you could defend that better.
We've been under siege before, so this actually works.
Exactly.
That's unlike when we were under siege too on a train.
You know,
what's
you
it just look like? I'm building a bomb.
I just want to be a cook, but now I got to get this Playboy Playmate out of you.
Oh no, Gary Busey.
Right. Yep. Oh man, so there is one of the things they say that. Was the big grand equalizer. It's mud flood time. Mm-hmm. The mud flood theory and the Tartarian Empire go hand in hand. Seabot or Pincher noted. It's a fringe theory that suggests a mysterious cataclysmic event occurred sometime between the 17th and 19th centuries. We're not talking about way, way, way back, not even that long ago, causing a massive mud flood that buried and destroyed much of the world's architecture and infrastructure that was really, really advanced. Fun coincidence here. Mud flood also happens to be the name of JT and Kevin's prog rock band.
It's true. I play the 9-string tuba.
it's very hard to learn.
Shortest song is 17 minutes and 13
seconds. Yeah, and I thought it was too short, but we had a bit of a creative difference there.
We had to truncate it.
It's the only prog rock band that uses hemi, demi, semi quavers. Does anyone know what that is?
I don't.
It's a 64th note. 64th.
I just use the theremin. That's all.
That's
I
right.
Use.
Yeah. That's all he plays in the band. Yeah. I do everything else. Yeah.
I'm the Garfunkel. You are the Garfunkel. Simon.
That's yeah. fine. That's fine. It's okay. You don't have as good a hair, but you have beautiful hair.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, I could have went a different way with Mudflood and Kevin, but I just went with this one.
Is that so. Like space docking?
It's a lot like hey. It, but sloppier if Kevin's involved. Anyway.
God damn it.
So the supporters of the Mudflood theory believe that the Tartary people, the Tartarian Empire, the Tarts, as we'll call them, they were one of the primary victims of this disaster, and its remnants can be found in the buried and partially buried structures around the world. You know, like all archaeology.
See how that works.
You know, it's funny. Now's where it gets, you know, juicy, so to speak.
Those and saucy tartars.
Well, I'm telling you, you got to love a juicy mud flood. according to the mud flood theory, the global elite, various governments, or other powerful entities have deliberately concealed the truth about the empire and the mud flood to maintain control over historical narratives and the world's population, followed by what can only be described as a perfectly evil laugh.
And just look on. How happy he is.
Dynamic wow. drop in there, Kent Brockman. Glad you finally decided to contribute. He sits in here all the time just drinking our
Always.
Beer.
He's fucking hammered.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the true perfect laugh. JT, that was a voicemail that we got one time, and it was near and dear to my heart now.
Is that the whole voicemail?
It was just like, here, let's listen. We do voicemail episodes. We never listen beforehand.
Yeah, just released one, didn't you?
Yeah. So we hit it and.
Jeez. David, was that you?
That was fantastic.
No, sadly, that was like, not.
Was I that a morbidly obese Woody Woodpecker on Coke? Is that what that was?
I got to tell you, the reason we don't have the camera on David is every time he hears that, he's fully turgid. So that's why we don't allow him.
Turgid.
Turgid.
It's turgid. Beautiful.
Don't talk about my turges.
Actually, David, with your beautiful radio voice, could you say turgid?
Well, that makes me very turgid.
Ooh, now we're on it.
I don't know about turgid, but I got a boner. Anyway, dynamic drop-in aside, they argue that the architectural anomalies found in some old buildings, such as buried basements, hidden floors, mismatched building elements, are evidence of the mud flood and the subsequent cover-up. It's almost too easy.
Brent, this building here has a door. And that other building also has a door.
It's almost like they didn't, back in the day, build and then realize they needed to build on. And aesthetics wasn't really,
yeah,
you know, as keen as it was.
I think John Thomas has a good point, though. How did they, everybody know about doors and getting into buildings except for mud floods?
It's clearly what the, yeah, that's why.
We've just been leaving everything open.
That's right.
This entire time. Thank you, Tartarian, for coming and letting us know. So in summation, because by God, we all deserve it. The Mudflood theory is connected to the Tartarian Empire claims as an explanation for alleged disappearance of supposedly advanced civilizations, because, you know, this place has a basement. Obviously they had flight capabilities. However, both theories, here's a little spoiler, widely regarded as fringe beliefs with little to no verifiable evidence.
So they say.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. And well, I will say
that's
this.
That's mainstream historians and academics. I'm doing air quotes as I say that.
Where were Tardy and the Tarts when I was in my home with no basement? And thank you. What?
That's to the tune of Benny and the Jets. Oh, okay. I think, yeah.
Yes.
I was thinking of a 50s doo-wop band myself. Tardy and the Tarts.
It's similar. I grew up in the Midwest where we have tornadoes all the time, and I grew up in a house without a basement. So where the fuck were the mud flooders then? Because that was terrifying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's true.
Well, then let's get to the real brass tacks here. How they you know the proof we have.
Oh,
David, tell us about maps.
I'm a map.
I'm sorry.
I'm a map.
Thank you, Brian Regan.
Yes.
We mentioned maps earlier, or, you know, paper lies, if you look at the current one. The correlation between old maps and the Tartarian Empire's theory stems from the presence of Tartary, or Great Tartary, if you extra-minist.
Great Tartary!
On some historical maps, particularly those from the 17th to 19th centuries. Proponents of the Tartarian Empire theory believe that these maps provide evidence for the existence of a vast and influential empire that has been erased from mainstream historical accounts. They argue that the geographical extent and prominence of Tartary on these maps indicate that it was once a powerful civilization with global influence.
Which leads to this question. Was One-Eyed Willy a Tartarian?
Well, he was hiding from them. That's why he was in that cave.
But he was in the basement.
Chester Copperpot sure was.
Yeah, damn right he was. Thank you.
Oh, they cleaned him out. Yeah, right after they ate him. They cleaned him out, Ma. All right.
To ride up Troy's mud flood bucket.
Those are some of the claims. We're going to break these down a little bit more with our explanations after the break, and I think that's important. But we wanted to say some of the things, and we're going to get into a little bit of the more minutia coming up here on Hysteria 51.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know, I believe this sounds a lot like the fourth Mud Flood record.
It's true.
And, yeah.
That was when you were doing the kind of stripped down minimalist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just theremin and nine string tuba.
Is that when you all grew your mustaches and started taking LSD?
Oh, well, no. We took LSD before with a dentist, you Beatles hating motherfucker.
I didn't say I hate the Beatles.
I mean, maybe not in this episode.
I didn't say I do, but I didn't say I hate them.
Are you just saying that to be quote unquote metal as fuck?
No, I don't give a shit about the Beatles is more thing. I don't hate the Beatles. I just don't. I know Kevin is literally, I can feel him on the back.
I feel the hate.
I don't dislike them. I'm not, you know, I'm not Kevin.
You're not an American.
You're not, hey, lucky you, buddy.
You know, they're no winger. I'll give you that.
Yeah, man, I'm going to shove your face into a cherry pie.
You know,
hey, that's Warrant.
Yeah. Oh man, you're right. I'm sorry. She Jesus, God damn it. I'm
think
so
you're
sorry.
Thinking of She's Only 17. Is that Winger?
Yep, you okay. Got it.
That's very, very creepy.
Or very creepy. Or if you watch Beavis and Butthead, who is the Stewart? Always wore a Winger t-shirt.
Yes, always wearing that Winger t-shirt.
Yeah. Well, there's the Beatles lyric. She was just 17. You know what I mean? And the way she looked was way beyond compare. So I just wanted to bring back the Beatles.
I would say that Winger and the Beatles are pretty comparable then.
Yeah, if you're into rapists, yes. Child.
Stop.
I want to hold your hand until I get you in my band.
Stop it.
They were just talking to you, Brent. They just wanted to hold you, ultimately.
That's right. That is true.
I want to hold Brent hand.
Yep.
All this makes sense. David,
but it was covered up by the government that they were singing about you.
Well, those reptoid bastards pulling away. Yeah. Anyway, David, tell us about some experts, if you will, in this subject.
Well, what do people use to poo-poo on this truth?
Lies.
Here, but let's get a little bit more technical.
Mm-hmm.
How about a lack of evidence?
Pshaw.
Critics argue that there's a scarcity of verifiable historical evidence supporting the existence of the Tartarian Empire. They point out that the primary sources cited by proponents are often vague, misinterpreted, or taken out of context. Like, that really matters.
It doesn't.
I've done enough episodes about, well, everything, but the pyramids or anything. If you can look at anything and draw conclusions, but hopefully you're drawing conclusions off of what you have, all the information, not picking and choosing. And a lot of times when you look at these things, yeah, there's similarities everywhere, but there's no evidence that they were flying and had, you know, internet and web browsers and, you know, all that stuff. Where does that jump come from? Now, a lot of people tell you because it's hidden and they're privy to the truth, but where's the truth? We're not privy to it ourselves. We just got to take it at face value.
Honest question, though. Has there been an attempt other than the maps to present evidence of these things?
Well, we'll talk about the maps a little bit more and what that means. So with architecture, especially like we were talking about, they see these things all across the globe, similar building techniques and things like that, or writing came around at the same time, or languages, you know, and they, you know, outside of trading routes and stuff normal, well, it's because there was one superpower. And this isn't the only thing. We're going to talk about this. There's other things that have been hidden, they say, by the powers that be. But why? Well, let's get to the why a little bit later.
Okay, sounds good.
Another thing they say is it's a conflation. And this kind of goes into what you're talking about. Conflation of different cultures, all right? So scholars, they say that Tartarian Empire theory supports supporters thereof often conflate unrelated cultures, histories, and regions to create a unified narrative. They argue that the similarities cited by proponents are coincidental or the result of cultural exchange, like I was saying, like people that were trade routes and stuff like that, rather than evidence of a single unified empire, meaning just because two people figured out the wheel, not the wheel, but, you know, a way to build a building at the same time doesn't mean they were talking to one another.
You don't say.
I mean, but a lot of people do say, you know, is that they were, but that's how much of it is because there's evidence and how much of it is because I want it to be.
I'm going to go with the latter.
I think that's a lot of it. Don't you guys? Don't you feel like,
John, what do you think?
There's several things that potentially going on here. The first one is there is cultural exchange across trade routes that doesn't necessarily indicate one unified empire. Because even when you look at like Samaria, which is an ancient empire, mm-hmm. they weren't actually unified. They were essentially city-states that had some degree of shared culture, but were ultimately still warring with each other. They didn't have centralized government and that sort of thing. So I think it's probably, if we're giving this some degree of serious skepticism, I think probably to presume that there is a unified empire just because two people, do this thing in the same way mm-hmm. is probably a quantum leap in terms of logic.
Dean Stockwell?
Oh boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So if I just a programming note for our hosts of Hysteria 51, never have me on again and just keep having John Thomas on because that was the most well thought out answer to my question of any question. That was really
– I just texted to him and asked him to read it. So
he did, yeah.
That's oh, actually, yeah. Well,
he pulled it from a Wikipedia page.
Okay, because Brent didn't come up with that shit.
The next one I love, pseudo-history – pseudoscience is all too ignored little brother.
He gets jealous.
Uh-huh. So we're going back to the academics. They consider the Tartarian Empire theory to be a form of pseudo-history, a narrative based on speculation and conjecture rather than rigorous historical research. And I think that is the rub there. Conjecture rather than rigorous historical research. Caveat, though, how many times do we look at history? You know, I keep going to like places like Egypt – and we find new things out, but they refuse to update their way of thinking. That's why a lot of people go, well, you're just hiding the facts. Anyway, they argue that the theory cherry picks information, ignores contradictory evidence, and relies on unfounded assumptions. And I think that's true, but my point is so does mainstream archaeology sometimes. Case in point, the advanced tech shit like air travel, free energy, you know, the Tesla type stuff. They even invented the internet before Al Gore. Tartaria had its own global communication network outside of just trade routes, they say.
Did it have its own Twitter?
Oh, man.
It was called Tartar.
I bet it was saucy.
Yeah, give it a squeeze. I don't know. Like, I see this, and I do you guys know what I'm talking about? Like, when they look at the pyramids, there has never been any proof that in a pyramid they were ever used as a tomb. But 100 years ago, someone said that, and now that's what's been believed. There's no writing. There's no hieroglyphs. There's no anything in there. But that was just what is now believed. And even though we have things that say otherwise, no one really rocks that boat. Now, I'm not saying it's a water pump or a needle that, you know, that shoots out free energy, but
I believe the pyramids, according to Ben Carson, is where Joseph stored his grain.
I think that was his,
yeah,
his
big old grain silo.
That's right. Yeah. Belongs in Central
Illinois.
Is Ben
Carson still alive?
You're damn right.
No, he died.
He did not.
Yeah, he died of COVID, I think, right?
No, you're thinking of Herman Cain.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, Herman Cain definitely did.
Yeah, he died of COVID in 2020.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting. History is very messy, right? Especially ancient history. And so the only data that we get to pull from is this very surface level. And then I think you're right, Brent. We want clean stories. We want stories that make sense and where we've trimmed off all the rough edges and we can bracket it in. So we get new data and it's like, well, shoot, that doesn't fit with my story. So I'm going to ignore that. It's a lot harder to live in the tension of just saying, well, we think this is what happened, but we've got these other pieces that say that maybe there is some other functionality, but we don't know. And no one wants that. We want nicely hand-delivered stories in a bow that makes sense to us.
Well, and I think the other side of that, too, is when we don't know, and if people say they don't know, that invites this way of thinking of, well, what if it was this? Well, we don't – where's that coming from? But what if, you know, and insert, you know, go willy-nilly.
We seem to have stumbled into one of my therapy sessions where I just ask what if for 50 minutes and my therapist says, Kevin, maybe think differently.
I feel like you are – that seems like you're paying – you're just paying for think differently.
Leave me alone.
All right. Moving on, we're going to talk alternative explanations.
Alternative facts.
Thank you. Thank you for that drop in.
Alternative facts.
That's enough from you.
Much like who we just heard from, scholars propose alternative explanations for the evidence cited by Tartarian Empire supporters, including cultural exchange. That's one we talked about. Migration, natural evolution of architectural styles. That's just the way things work. They emphasize the importance of contextualizing historical information using reliable sources to draw conclusions. But why do that when making shit up is so much more fun?
Alternative facts.
Well, let me ask this question, and I think I am someone who I think we know is suspect of religious faith. And anytime I see a coincidence, right, I'm able – often to say, oh, that's a coincidence. Maybe it's a coincidence that they both knew how to build a building that way or based on the knowledge of the math. And then I see a coincidence. Somebody says, oh, that's God showing me that I need to do X, Y, and Z. So like how much do you think that is going on here where, again, to what John Thomas was saying about it feeds a narrative to say all of these things. And if we say, there are no coincidences. They were talking to each other. Like, how much of that do you think is going on here?
Well, I think Kevin's the guy who's like, oh, it's a coincidence that that bush is on fire and talking to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's a great quote. I actually don't remember who it's from, but the quote is that
– you can attribute it to me for
ease. It's actually from Brent Hand, and it's something to the effect of – I'm paraphrasing. Journalists' job is to make stories simple. Historians' jobs are to make them complex. And I think that that's really true because, again, historians have a really difficult job because human beings and human civilizations are telescoped and nuanced and complex and contradictory. And it just isn't fun to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, it's not a morsel that we can swallow well. So it would be a lot more fun and interesting if it were one big empire that is being covered, you know, covered up. Because that's fun too, right? That's exciting, is to think that you possess the truth and all of the other people around you are just sheep.
Isn't that a comforting thing to be like, I'm in on the know and you're not? You know,
I think that's why
all of hipster culture
exists.
Is built on that, in fact. So
this podcast exists because of that.
Yeah.
Ooh. And because of David's wonderful voice.
True.
Bah. You guys.
Everything all right? Oh.
What'd you have him say earlier? I already forgot.
Turgid.
Turgid, the podcast.
David, speaking of, tell us about those good old mud floods. Let's break those down a little bit.
Man, that sounds very, I don't know.
David, tell us about your mud flood. Right? Tell me about your mud flood, Dave.
Well, it sounds almost racist.
No shit, critics, right? Or something terrible. Like, yeah.
Right. Critics of the mudflood theory and the Tartarian Empire claims argue that there is no credible evidence to support the existence of a global catastrophe of such magnitude. These infidels point out that the architectural anomalies can be explained by more mundane reasons, such as changes in building styles, construction methods, or local environmental conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But mundane don't get people to come to your Angel Fire website, so fuck that. No.
That's the biggest point there is. They're not talking about 5,000 years ago for this mud flood. We're talking between the 17th and 19th centuries. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know this, but we were communicating and, you know, the written word was a thing 100 to 200 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of crazy that we don't know of a cataclysmic mud flood that took out the largest empire.
Yeah,
on
there's
Earth.
No record of it.
No, listen, I'll accept a Clearwater flood.
Clearwater.
But I will not accept a mud flood.
Wait, is Clearwater like the Noah's flood? Or
I don't know. But if the water is nice and clear,
I'll
accept that. Mm-hmm. But there is no mud.
But now I'm treading into the dumbass area, they'll tell me, because we don't know this because the powers that be don't let us know it. They took it from the history.
Well, isn't that the answer for everything?
Yep. They're awfully coordinated.
Yes.
Considering they're at war with each other and they
right? No human beings could keep this many secrets.
Yeah. Well, if they were, you know, using the advanced technology that they were then covering with.
Or so. You ever think they're not fucking human beings, you fucking sheeple?
Oh yeah.
Got me.
That's all I hear is when you guys talk. Jesus Christ.
That voice didn't squeak then, did it?
No, man. I'll tell you, I was channeling my inner Brent. Man.
It was terrifying.
So, curiously, when we sort of look at this theory, I do feel like there are narrow conspiracy theories and there are what I'll think of as broad.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the broad, fold everything into.
It's a catch-all.
Yeah. It's impressively wide net.
The only fold-in I like is from the late, great Al Jaffe. God rest his soul. Just passed away at 102 years old. Did the fold-ins at the back of Mad Magazine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to talk about the fold-in at my belt, like where my gut goes over my belt a little bit.
No, that'll be on Sad Times.
It's true.
That's a Dunlap, yeah. now, we did, speak of maps also, David, wreck us on that as well. Wreck us, Daddy, wreck us.
Wow. Well, time to pull out our maps.
Alexander pulls out his magic map for all those King's Quest people out there. Sorry.
Nice reference.
Remember how some people talked about Tartary? Checkmate!
Yes!
That's it. We're done.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not, unfortunately. Experts contend that Tartary was a term used by European mapmakers and explorers to describe a vast, poorly understood region in Central Asia, Siberia, and sometimes parts of East Asia.
European reptilian mapmakers, maybe.
He's onto the truth. He's onto the truth.
Severely, severely uninformed and just making shit up. The term was not indicative of a unified political entity or empire, but rather a general labor-intensive term, a label for a diverse range of cultures, tribes, and peoples living in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like saying them.
Mm-hmm.
They. Plus, They say the changing borders and labels of Tartary on old maps reflect the evolving understanding and knowledge of these regions by European cartographers, rather than a deliberate attempt to suppress or erase the existence of a Tartarian empire.
No, the cartographers are in on it now.
Are they part of it?
They
now?
Say. Oh, yeah. Notice he kept saying,
are
they
we sure
say.
That yeah. this isn't the Tartarian empire?
Yes. Yes.
Don't give as more accurate geographical information became available through exploration and trade, the depiction of Tartary on maps became more refined and accurate, eventually disappearing altogether as more precise political and geographical boundaries were established.
Fucking placeholders.
That's all they were.
Look, I know that this is my last show based on John Thomas's eloquence, but can we get rid of CBOT, please?
If you can figure it out.
I don't know you're the one who made them.
Well, I mean, never mind.
All right, fine.
This is a, JT, you brought it up. Well, you said this is like the catch-all, the thing that like, everything I don't understand, we're going to throw into this one thing. And I think it's funny that, you know, Tartary or Tartaria, Tartarian Empire, when they were talking about this, well, that's, you know, Tartary was just a term used for, we don't know what it is. So this is Tartary. But that's lost or people don't realize it. It's frustrating as shit, to say the least. What's your thoughts, David, on this to start out with? You've heard it. You've given us all the information. Where are your thoughts?
Well, it sounds a lot like it stems from this, what we just said, that there was a region on the map that they just called Tartary because they didn't have any mm-hmm. better term for it and they didn't know what it was. And that has kind of blossomed into this whole conspiracy, aka pseudo history thing. Much like Atlantis, in the way that we take Plato's writing and description of it. And I would even put more stock into that than this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the other thing is, you know, Atlantis. This is not the same as Atlantis, because Atlantis was supposedly one place and, you know, had, you know, dealings there where this was much larger, they would even say. But do you think these kind of go hand in hand, you know, or do people sometimes interchange one with the other? That's for everyone, not just David. I'm just thinking out loud here.
It's a great question. I wonder, sort of semi-serious question is, so the word in that the Greeks used for the underworld is Tartarus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a place sometimes just, you know, associated with Hades, like the traditional underworld, sometimes associated with where Titans or kind of banished gods mm-hmm. went. Do we know if it has any connection, if these words have any connection, or if that just is happenstance?
So the term originated, I'm looking this up right now, from the wake of widespread devastation spread by the Mongol Empire. And adding an extra R to Tartar was a suggestion of a Tartarus, a hell-like realm in Greek mythology.
Look at that.
So it makes it seem like when someone didn't know what a place was or it wasn't explored, they called a Tartary like a hell-like realm that no one knew. Wow, well done, sir.
How about it?
Fucking, I'm fired.
I gotta go.
You remember we talked about Hades, Tartarus, and Sheol on Sad Times one time, the different concepts of hell, and mm-hmm. Gehenna as well.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Gehenna is my favorite concept.
Gehenna's, yeah. So and I don't know, David, I know you like the devil, so I don't know if you also like hell, but that's always an interesting topic too.
Now, actually, David said he's down with the devil. Then
him and Slayer.
Then he said, like, we like the pot, he rocked the pot, hey. Because he's 3 foot nine with a 10 foot dick, so.
Based on a real place in the Middle East,
Gehenna.
It was a Gehenna. Yeah,
the dump outside of Jerusalem,
cursed mm-hmm. place. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's not exactly hell, and you know, early Judaism didn't have an actual hell. They had Sheol, which mm-hmm. is a place where kind of like shades go, almost like Hades for Greeks. But Gehenna became associated with hell because it was a cursed place that nobody wanted to go to. It was like a cursed land. I don't know if nothing would grow there or if it was just a site of a bunch of battles or a lot of, you know, bad crap happened. But,
like Dodge City, Kansas. I didn't mean that.
It was also where they dumped a lot of, quote unquote, unclean stuff to try to not have
stuff.
So trash, essentially. I see. So that it didn't dead people, as an example, that were paupers. So that way it wouldn't sully the ritual cleanliness of Jerusalem.
So pretty much map makers were slinging hate at areas they didn't know, calling it Tartary.
They're throwing shade.
Exactly.
I don't understand that. That's obviously the underworld.
Obviously, they had free energy there, and
it's called hellfire.
Yeah, where do you think the hellfire comes from? It's free energy everywhere. It was so enormous that it covered most of the world. Yet somehow, the entirety of this massive empire was erased from history. They said, "Well, they erased from history because of the powers that be that don't want us to know, or maybe they're the powers that be that survived." And now run things. So, that's the big fuck you checkmate answer to anything we say is you could just go, well, you don't know. You're not privy to the truth.
You weren't there.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. They were so stealthy, they managed to remove every single trace of their existence, leaving only a few obscure references in old books and maps. They're like the D.B. Cooper of empires. It's just vanishing without a trace.
Brian, I have to ask you, was that your second Kid Rock reference today?
Is a D.B. Cooper?
D.B. Cooper and the money he took. That's a line.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Thank God I didn't know that.
All right, put that Bud Light down.
I was going to throw it up in the air and see if he could shoot it.
No.
Anyway, I don't know. We got Davis. What do you guys say? Do you give this any chance at being true? And the reptilian overlords keeping it from us.
I'll just be brief. I don't know the Greek word for anything, so I'll defer to John Thomas.
No, I don't think this is true at all. if I'm being totally honest, I think a massive conspiracy between like the Ottoman Empire and their hated enemies in Europe, like during that time period. I don't think they would be able to be like, you know what? Let's all work together here and let's really stop these Tartarians.
And we brought up steampunk earlier and about how all their airships and stuff seem. So is this maybe some form of fan fiction about steampunk to say that this is when it existed?
I love that. Is this fan fiction? Yes, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I was just saying that was like the pictures you see when you look up, what was Tartary like? And everyone's like, everyone's wearing top hats and canes and, and flying in dirigibles.
It does look much more fun to fly in a dirigible.
I love a good dirigible.
Yeah. Except when they catch fire.
That's very bad.
But with free energy, we don't need to worry about
that. That's a good point.
So once again, Hysteria 51, the pro-hell podcast.
Yes. You heard it here first.
Hey, it's renewable, right? I mean, hellfire is renewable. You can always continue to, continue. There's going to be more people going. You can continue to utilize it.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, that's the way it goes. Anyway, kids, that's our thoughts on Hellfire and Tartary. What are your thoughts? Have you guys heard about it before? Do you know something that we don't know? Are you a Tartarian general still alive in the
cataclysmic?
No, in the
catacombs.
Thank you. The catacombs underneath. Insert whatever.
Paris.
Government building where things are really being ran from. Maybe they're in Site R or Raven Rock, or one of those places, or right under our nose. Let us know. Well, you can let us know several ways. Number one, give us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. You can tweet to us at Hysteria51Pod, facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod, or just jump on Facebook, look up Hysteria Nation. That's our regular page. But that's enough about us. Kevin, thank you so much for being on. And you do some junk show, don't you?
Junk is right. I do host a podcast called Sad Times. It's about each week we have a guest on where somebody tells a part of their story where they're upset, sad, angry, times that they were uncomfortable, kind of things that we as humans don't talk about as much. And the hope of it is that that person can tell their story and somebody out there who's listening can feel a little less alone by relating to that. So you can find Sad Times wherever you get your podcasts, which apparently is where you get GIFs as well. I don't know where those are either. And then also, if you would like to be a guest on Sad Times, you can always email sadtimeskc. That's K as in catsup. No, K as in ketchup, C as in catsup. Fucked it up. Sadtimeskc at gmail.com. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you, sir. And JT.
Yes, sir.
Our author extraordinaire. What do you got going on? You're writing books. You're having your own private practices. You're making sense on here. I don't like you very much.
I have that effect on people. I have a very good book out, and I have another book out, and then I have a very good book of short stories.
I was going to say you have two very good books out.
I have two very good books out, and I have a book. As well, a third book. So
we're gonna put links to all of them, and you got to choose which is which.
Which is which. So both of the two gentlemen that are on the material plane here with me have read Scab Among the Stars, which is the first book in the Lunar Lives series, and they both told me it's shit, and I should never. I should just put down my pen.
That's right. And then I said, why are you writing with a pen? Use a good pen, Sideshow Bob.
That's right. That's right. So if you like dark fantasy, if you like the likes of Neil Gaiman, Clive Barker, China Meville, then pick up Scab Among the Stars.
Can I say one thing Absolutely. Real fast about Scab Among the Stars? I am somebody who does love to read, but I don't love fantasy. But I really, really enjoyed that book when I read it. So I think even if you're like, oh, I don't know about fantasy, it is, in my opinion, worth checking out.
And if I can interject one thing real quick.
Yeah, that's usually what that's the that actually was a response to reading my book when I said, did you like it?
Was that an actual Amazon review of your book?
That's right, that was. That was. And then the other is a short story collection called Machines and Fever Dreams with twisted little tales that will make you feel unpleasant and unhappy, which is the intention.
I love that title too, very much.
I appreciate that. Yeah, because it's, you know, that's both science fiction and fantasy. And then I have another book that was my first attempt called The Charlatans, which has a great hook and is rough around the edges, but you know, also fun in its own right.
Sweet. And you can find all of these links in the show notes, and I command you to buy them because, you know, I have that power over you with my free energy that I siphoned from the Tartarian Empire.
From the Hellfire, yeah.
So Hellfire, should just say.
And if you'll leave me a good review, great. And if you don't like it, lie and still leave me a good review.
Right. And you heard it here first. Hail Satan, I think, is what we were getting at with this. Probably not. Probably not. He doesn't exist if you ask Kevin, and he's all too real if you ask me. So, you know.
Meet Brent and I in the middle.
Yeah, we'll be at the
So that means he's
concert.
Like so-so?
He's so-so. He's like your Uncle Rick.
Okay, kids. Well, thank you so much for listening. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
I've been Kevin.
JT Brown.
And he's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.